Everybody, welcome to the broadcast. Shit. So much for no editing. We're just going to keep it in because we're doing it live. Hi, everyone. This is the Survivor JJC girls only bonus episode for the Patreon. Hello, everyone. We are joined, Jamie and I are joined by Shandy. I guess I should just let everybody introduce themselves. I'm Colleen. That's doing great.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Shandy.
Woo! We are here to talk about the merge up till this point and where we foresee it going. Hopefully, Shandy will then be back before the finale like last year.
Fun.
Talk some more. Zachary is also itching to do another one.
Ooh.
I feel like he's past that immature. Yeah, he does. Cause he actually like remembers more. Like I told you guys when we were doing the regular show, like he remembered Kenzie's job and all that.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. I was like, good memory.
Who's he really rooting for this year? I know last year he was like, he was hoping for Jam Jam. What's his pick this year?
That was two seasons ago was Jam Jam. Last season he was hoping for Bruce, I believe. And this season, what was he? He had something I was explaining. I can't remember the exact quote. So you know what? We'll save that for when I can remember. It was something about Banu though. Because wasn't he the one that only he became a super fan during the pandemic and then went on because his husband was a big fan, right?
Yes.
Was that Bonnie's story?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So I was explaining that to, because he was like, why is this guy crying? And I was like, well, you know.
That was not on camera, I feel like.
No, it was in the preseason interviews.
Okay. Because it was like, I did not know that.
So I was explaining that to him and he was like, oh, well, he shouldn't cry. He should just know that his husband will probably love him no matter what.
And I was like, oh,
that is sweet.
So slinging pearls of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, you know, sometimes we hold ourselves to standards and we get frustrated and disappointed, blah, blah, blah. You know, I did the whole spiel. So anyway, so Shandy, since the first four episodes of the season were all about Banu, want to talk about that?
Well, I have to say, like, I was really taken with Banu. I really enjoyed watching him.
A million hearts.
My one thing with Banu, though, is, like, anyone, anytime who, like, sincerely believes that they're superior being God, Buddha, whoever you want it to be, is like invested in how that person does in Survivor or a sports game or whatever. Like to them, I say maybe their God could be concentrating on some of like the major conflicts in the world instead.
Your God gave you the ability to play.
Exactly.
And go forth, my child, and make me proud.
Right. And I mean, obviously, there's also like a whole like logical fallacy there. I mean, there's 18 players, 17 of them are going to win. As Jeff reminded us, somebody on the beach just can't even win. So it's like, what? Like, God cares about you? And like he's invested wrong, in though. You winning and doesn't care about the 17 others. Anyway, that was like the one thing. And you know what? He was tired and hungry. And so,
yeah.
But that was like the one thing I was like, okay, we can move on now.
Yeah, we are definitely.
But I really enjoyed that they had him on the show. And I personally really enjoy anytime. I mean, not anytime, I guess, but like, I find it really compelling to have different kinds of people from different walks of life, particularly who come maybe from different countries. I find that always to be interesting. And I loved his story of like the moment he, you know, got his citizenship, because there's many different ways to be an American citizen. And it's not all just being born here. And I really like when that's shown on the show. So that was fun. I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the last that we see of him.
I think that might be the last we see of him.
I don't know. I really don't know. The show loved him. So for whatever that's worth.
The viewers, you know what? The show had him overstay his welcome by one episode. I think the viewers were kind of like, hey, it's time to go home. The lights are turning off now.
Yeah, I think it's like Bono was like the fun drinker at the party, and then like he became the like sad, destructive drinker at the party, and then like started cursing his god, and everyone was like, all right, cut him off.
But
you know, again, I also liked Bonnie as a human being.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was a terrible player. He should never have told.
He's not made for the shield.
He literally went to that Shipwell Island thing and just was like, here's my tea, dump.
Well, I think it stands to show you know, when he talks about his childhood and his upbringing and the struggles that he's experienced in life. And I think it speaks volume that he's this world where it's about deceiving each other and you can't be an open book and you can't take care of each other. It's not what he's made of. And that's okay, actually.
Totally. I mean, a lot of times, like, not being good at Survivor means that you're probably a good person. So there's that. But it's also a reminder to all of us who love to watch the show and, like, you know, do like Monday morning quarterbacking, that just because you're a fan of the show doesn't mean that you would necessarily be good at the show, no matter what you think. I think that there are aspects of my personality that would make me good for the show, but I also know that the moment I'm even a little bit tired and hungry, like, I can't function. So, like,
it's like the difference between watching a travel show and actually traveling. You know, it's like you see all the beauty, you want to be there, you want to take it all in, but like, what if you're one of those people that can't handle a bus ride? I mean, and you're miserable and you can't see it the way you see it from TV. Some of us are just meant to watch the documentary and that's it.
It's fun though, and I was glad though when we kind of got to this new phase of the game. Like, now I feel like it's getting good. I think the cast again is like really solid. I'm really enjoying this this cast of castaways.
Yeah,
I'm excited that we're finally, so like the next episode, I feel like we'll finally be into the game, because these last couple episodes have been interesting, but it's like, can we just have them at the merge and have them all vote together and have only
I don't feel bad saying that it was a slow start to the season. I feel like the first three episodes could have been one episode and then an email. So or like the credits at the bottom of the screen. Bonnie would go on to cry a lot, get more confessionals. Three times more confessionals than Sandra got.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, the show loved
him. That
was
the drunk guy at the bar. Like, that was.
Yep. Everybody got to have a chance to sit down and have a conversation with the drunk guy at the bar.
Well, and you know that if they were doing like the reunion show like they used to, he would get probably more questions than some of the people that made the jury.
Right, exactly. Yes.
I do absolutely love though that, as bad as Twitter can be, and it can be really awful sometimes, the snark is incredibly creative, but I really loved, like, on his episode that he got voted out, it's like across Twitter, see you, don't you dare.
Non-voted out. Sent home.
Right.
It's just, Sia, don't you dare. Because he is such a lovely person, but it was so much of the game. And it's like, it was almost as if the editing was trying to erase Jelinski from our brain.
Which it did for me, remember? Well,
he did get a shout out.
Yeah.
He lives on. He truly is a legend.
That was so freaking funny. Like, this is like funny, Jeff. When Jeff was like, in honor of Jelinski, you've been there for several minutes now.
Honestly, that was amazing.
Damn. Yes, amazing burn of somebody who's not there anymore to defend themselves.
But you know that Jelinski was watching from home and was fucking like, I am dead.
Oh, yeah.
With flattery with this. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yes, so that challenge. So that challenge last night, or this most recent episode, was super fun. Like the whole alphabet game, the fact that they were trolling Q so hard,
which like that's really interesting to me because we've seen how headstrong Q is, and I think that he's a really fascinating character too. And I'm glad to have him on the show, but I think that would drive me personally pretty crazy. Yes. And good on the girls though for Kenzie and Tiffany for like just like holding it together, because I think I agree that with them that it's, you know, like clearly too early to vote him out. But from his perspective, if you're trying to start this game and people are doing it the way that they're doing it, like maybe you can say at once like, oh, I usually play it like this, but then if people continue, then you drop it. And you just let it go. Like, okay, people don't have to like memorize everything before then if they don't want to, and we can still play this game. And it's just like, okay.
No, but they were very clearly fucking with him. We're on
the first page. The first, oh, that's right, the first person like wasn't.
No, right, they didn't get the game, and then,
and that's what I would have done too.
By the time we got to Liz and Charlie. Charlie's face, I rewatched that scene today, and he does like the Jim Halpert look at the camera. Yep. Like, it's all, that clip is like everywhere, Shani. You should be able to find it, even if you just like Googled it. He just looks at the camera and smiles. It's so funny.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I might have to go back and look at that. There's another sort of like close up on his face where he's looking like kind of devilish and like almost a little crazy, but like not in a bad way.
It's like era.
When they're back at camp. Yeah. And it's like this, what is that called? Like a fish. I was going to say a fishnet, but that's not right. The lens, you know, it's like this wide lens. So his panoramic. Face is like, I don't know, but it's like the shot of his face, like three quarters profile or something. And he just has this like look of like insanity on his face, but again, not in a bad way. It was like, Charlie's going places in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Charlie is going to be around for a little while. I personally think Kenzie is going to win based on the edit that we see.
I think that's entirely possible. Who was it? Somebody said something. So I was just listening to you guys's episode about this episode earlier today. And I was like,
which Jack declared himself the dill. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean, he's definitely the dill of your podcast.
That's very true.
That's true.
Yeah. There were a couple of things though, where I like had thoughts and wanted to respond. And of course now I can't remember, but there's something that was said. I'll think of it as we go. There was something that somebody said, and I wanted to say it was Kenzie. And I was like, oh, like, could that be like a foreshadowing of her winning? I can't remember.
When we were talking about how Q went out of his way to compliment
Kenzie. Yes. Yeah. That.
Well, there was that, but there was something else. I can't remember, but it'll come to me or not. But I could definitely see the case for Kenzie.
Yeah. Was it when Colleen foreshadowed it with, I believe Kenzie's going to win.
excuse me.
Yes.
But
yes,
Kenzie responded to my tweet last night. Thank you very much.
Holy shit.
Oh,
hey, really? She's very close. I didn't realize she was in Charlotte. That's very close.
I didn't realize that either. Yeah. Is she really?
Yeah, I mean that's where it's listed on the entertainment article that I was just looking at.
Oh my god, she's like so close to both of us.
Yeah, so like she might like end up at like RHAP events.
That is guessing. True. Just saying. Oh my god. So Matt Ligori, who is a very big RHAP person, had tweeted something about how Kenzie looks so pretty with her thingamabob. Oh, no, her hold on, let me just look it up.
Her bow?
No. Hold for dramatic effect. Okay, so Matt had said, Kenzie is so pretty out here looking like she's got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. And then I responded, what's galore? And then Kenzie responded, you want thingamabobs?
Yes.
You know, she really does look like Ariel. That's a good call. She's very beautiful.
Except for she looks like the Ariel, like, I don't know how long it's been, so you guys have been in a mall. But, you know, they have like the kiosks with like the t-shirts and it has all like the Disney princesses, but they have piercings and tats. You know?
Oh. Like, yeah.
The t-shirt tatted Ariel.
Yeah, she's the 21st century Ariel. That works. But here's my question. So if Kenzie does go on to win it, and I agree that that's a good prediction. I could definitely see that too. Although I could see several people, I love when it's like that. If Kenzie does go on to win, what's happening with Tiffany? Because I could see Kenzie being part of a blindside of Q at some point in time, probably with Tiffany. So I could see how like that, how the Q problem would be resolved for her. But what happens with Tiffany? Like, does she take her to the finals and then win against her? Because Tiffany's such a strong player.
I could see that her wanting to, but I could see other players wanting to try to weaken one of them to get the other one out.
And then Kenzie's the lucky one that ends up staying.
Like maybe she has immunity or something happens.
I could see that. Like Tiffany goes out and it's not even directly like Kenzie's fault, maybe.
Yeah, sort of like Mama, what's your face, went out last season with D.
I feel like there's a fairly good chance that either Tiffany or Charlie is going to be the fallen angel of this season.
I think it could be Tiffany, a fallen angel. I could see Charlie being a no vote finalist.
What? Everyone loves him. I mean, people have said really positive things about him on camera in the edit.
That's true. Sure. I think people, he's going to walk away.
Positive. Yeah.
He's got to walk away with at least Maria's vote, no matter what.
Well, right? And that's the other thing I was going to say is, where's Maria in this? Because she's really well positioned.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I think that if she, she wasn't wrong for speaking with Venus in this last episode when she had a conversation with Venus that she needed to have. But I really truly feel that if she had that type of conversation with the same tone with anybody else on that island, she would be on the chopping block to go home.
Maybe. And what's interesting though about that is that, especially since Venus thinks that this was her move, which to be fair, if two people come up with a similar plan and don't talk to each other about it.
Yep.
It's like, you know, who's to say what we were presented with was obviously that it wasn't Venus, but it is interesting from that perspective because it's like, okay, they both had the same idea, but Tevin obviously had the more social capital to actually throw it together. But from Venus's perspective, what she sees is, okay, they had this awkward conversation and maybe she felt kind of weird about Maria, but at the end of the day, Maria voted with her.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe that smooths that over, you know, and she doesn't even realize.
Oh, maybe. Ooh. So what did you think, Shandy, about Soda, which we'll talk about her getting voted off in a second, because I feel like there's a little bit there, but she also just might have been a casualty of two, you know, people with big move-itis trying to make their moves, and sometimes that just happens.
Yeah.
But
how... everyone gets big move-itis except for Tim.
Right. Yeah. How freaking hilarious was it that Soda got up there and was like, it was you?
Yeah.
He was literally like, I am going to melt in my seat out of rage.
Yes. And that was the point in your guys' discussion of this, where Jack was talking about how, like, Tevin needed to take credit for that. And you guys rightly pointed out that when Emily did that very same thing last season, she almost immediately got voted out in large part because of that. So I think it is a... it's a hard line to walk. And I think that he was right not to say anything. And I think that he should kind of not like keep it to himself, because here's the thing is with Emily, nobody knew what, like how she had worked Caleb.
Right.
And so she just like had to share that with somebody. Whereas with Tevin, like literally every other person that's still in that little grouping, they all know. Because
he talked to all of them, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they know that it wasn't Venus. So, you know, I feel like that's different. He has, the truth is out there, and he has his, you know, messengers who can corroborate that and tell other people.
I feel like we are in for a Kevin Venus showdown. Yes. And they're both petty bitches that I can't wait.
Yes.
Can we? Okay.
There's something to be said about hot drama at Tribal that it's like, yeah, I'm
ready. And those
ready.
Two, I wanna they see know it. A camera, they know what yes. sells the camera, and they hate each other. So let's
I mean,
go.
Can we talk about Tevin's opening monologue that opened the freaking season?
Yes.
Has that ever happened? Something to that extent with like the music, and it was like straight up theatrical. It was like, I thought I was watching a movie. And of course, it's just this person talking off the cuff, and holy shit, like it was so good. And that's like from the very beginning, I was like, oh, this guy.
Like, this guy's going far. He's an actor, you know, he's an entertainer. Yeah. He's a person of the stage.
Right. But he's not the first actor on the show, you know?
No, but he's got some magic that he's bringing with him every time the camera points at him. He's just, there's something really dynamic about it. It's like, yeah, you could just like say casually, like he has some like sass and charisma, but it's something a little bit more than that. And like he has the drama and the flair, but his serious drive to play this game, really directs that more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why he like immediately like locked eyes on Venus and was like, uh-uh, girl has to go. Like, he didn't even get to know her, and he's just like, nope, you're out, understudy, bye.
I love Tevin, just like, gotta put that out there too. He's been one of my favorites so far, and it's so interesting because I think Venus is interesting. I think she's young. I think the conversation she had with Maria, it was like so fascinating to be like, oh, this is a very clearly the perspective of somebody who is in their early 20s, and then versus Maria, like this is very clearly the perspective of somebody who's, you know, in their 40s, even late 40s. And like their reads of each other, I think Maria's was more probably spot on. But when Venus was like, oh, she's probably this or that, or I guess she did say like she probably doesn't like being told what to do by somebody that she considers to be her junior. But it wasn't even just that. It was the way. But anyway, that was super fascinating. So Venus is bringing a lot, I think, to the screen. But the thing with Tevin, I don't know if there's like more to it, because it's always seemed a little bit weird to me, just like this.
Oh, I totally think there's more to it, because we keep seeing like, you know, I don't know. I think it's
there
be
has
glorious.
To be some like broken trust or like something, which is weird. Like, why wouldn't we see it?
Maybe some like, you know, snarky responses or, you know, sarcasm when it wasn't needed. You know, just the general like. living with somebody when you're cold and hungry.
Sure. Right. But because like what we're seeing, at least what I was seeing, how I was interpreting it, especially in the beginning episodes. Now we've seen some ways in which Venus might sometimes get on people's nerves, but
yeah,
especially in the first episodes, it really seemed like, let's all just like pile on Venus for no apparent reason. And it's not really explained. And everyone's just like, you know, freezing her out. And see, so that's, I'm like, there's gotta be more because Tevin seems like such an acute social player.
So there are secret scenes that show that a lot of people were very, like on Twitter, were very upset. Like, why aren't we seeing this? Why are we seeing like Taylor Swift and Metallica offs when we actually have scenes that could be important? So there are secret scenes that show Venus and Tevin getting into it.
Okay. So there's more. So I would love to know.
There is definitely more to the story.
And it's just fascinating though. Like, why didn't we see that? Which makes me wonder like where each one is going to finish in the game. You know, like why wouldn't they show us that? But like, is Venus going to be a zero vote finalist? And so they don't want to just like totally bury her. And so maybe they cleaned it up or, you know, I don't know. But because the other thing, you know, with Soda, I did feel like part of her downfall was the way that she treated Venus. It seemed, it seems weird. It's like, it's one thing to not be in an alliance with somebody, but it's another thing to be like super nice to somebody for a couple of days and then just like literally stop talking to them. And that seems weird. It's like, you can still talk to somebody and not be working with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if you explain to your alliance. Exactly. You explain to Tevin, like, hey, like, I need to make sure she still feels comfortable. And, you know, like, that seems like pretty obvious. But and obviously, there's stuff that we don't know. But yeah.
There's some really interesting comparisons that I've seen to in the social media world. For the listeners who watch Big Brother, last season, there was a player, her name is America Lopez, and she's like super dynamic. There's so many similarities like between her and Venus, and just like they're young and beautiful, and they have a pretty good game sense, but nobody will listen to them. Like, they're just not capable of getting the agency they need in order to make moves, but they both are very like shoot from the hip. I can't cover up my facial expressions. Like, but if anyone were to actually sit and listen, they really do have a good sense of the game. It's just there's some strange block that happens between the faces and the words, like the faces they make and the words they say and how it's received. Mm-hmm. It's never received the way they want it to be received. And it's frustrating to watch because watching Big Brother and watching all of the live feeds, I know who somebody like America really, really was. And then I saw what she was edited as. Mm. And they're not the same person.
Like, yeah.
There's some things that you see that are the same, but they're not the same person. And even now, past the game, they're similar because as drama is happening in our CBS reality alum world, America is still like, she's getting interviews and stuff all the time, you know, but she's still like, I'm just going to tell you exactly how I feel. And I'm not kissing anybody's butt because
this is the chick that's with the Corey.
Yes. Yeah. She's
okay,
like,
it took me a second. I was like, I know that name. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm just going to tell you that this person was a total D-bag because they were a total D-bag. Like,
yeah.
She's not softening anything. And then I'm flipping over to Survivor and I'm watching Venus do the same thing. Like, no, man, this person was really cool. And it's like she's standing up for Soda, you know, like she's actually really cool and everybody just needs to get off. And any like differences that we had, it's stupid if you're a fan and you're saying these things. And like, she's no problem telling people to stuff it. So I'm really curious to know, like, I want to hear from other players, but I kind of don't want to hear from other players. Like, what's making you not like this woman? Like, what is it? Like, what's the issue? Yeah. I don't know. It's that's the hard
just,
part.
But you know what, Jamie? Some people and some people just rub other people the wrong way.
They really do.
It's not that they don't have social graces, but like they don't have, or maybe they don't have a filter, or maybe they just don't have like. You know, they weren't gifted with like changing their tone of voice, you know, like to express difference. So everything comes out like barking or whatever. But, okay. So as far as the soda vote off goes, super bummer.
Yeah.
I really like, I liked soda.
And I wish that we would have gotten more. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it was a good move for Tevin overall. I don't know.
Yeah, even though he did not, he voted Venus, but I think that he was throwing
100%
a vote over. Over
for the just in case the shot in the dark was played and worked.
Shandy, what did you think about the Charlie Venus heated exchange at Tribal, which was so scripted?
I mean, I think it was maybe more natural for Charlie, is that fair to say?
I guess, but they were so drama. It was so dumb. Not dumb, but you know what I mean. You're like, oh, this is so fake. We could all tell that this is fake, except for Soda, who couldn't tell it was fake.
Right. I think the thing with Charlie, though, and I mean that's why it's believable to somebody like Soda, is that for Charlie, like everything he was saying, it basically just goes back to how he literally actually felt at like right after the challenge.
Right.
So it's like, it's based in previous fact that has since changed, but that makes it, you know, easier to sell.
Yeah.
And it's logical.
Yeah. And then as far as Tim getting voted off, did you know it was going to be Tim before the vote, or did they do a good job kind of selling it? Like, you know,
I wasn't 100% sure either way. If it was going to be Tim or if it was going to be Ben, I kind of figured it wasn't going to be Hunter at that point.
Right.
Yeah, it was rough because like Tim seems like really chill and like nice, but also I wish that we got more from him because I feel like between Ben and Tim, I'm sort of like more invested in Ben's storyline. Because we have gotten so much, like back to all the music stuff.
I really do like Ben a lot. Mm-hmm.
That's what has been hard, because a lot of times, like, I don't really want any of them to go. Like, I like this cast.
Right. Yeah.
But if you look at somebody like Ben, he's the guy who's like showing real like moxie and heart for the game, right? Like, there's something about like you're watching him like love what he's doing and love the people that he's with and really like try harder and harder each time. And then you've got somebody like Tim who's in the game, but he's so like so chill and so just like, yeah, I'll get around to it. You know, well, like that's his attitude to a lot of things. Like, yeah, like, but now's not the time. It's like, really? Because there's like 4 days left. Like, it's the time, buddy. And also, that would make me crazy. I mean, even if he was my alliance, it would make me crazy. And someone like Q, who already like dealt with the Jelinski of everything, is going to be like, you buy.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the move. And I mean, I think if I was in their shoes, like that's probably what I would have done too. I think Tim's downfall is just like his, like in seemingly indecisiveness. Like, and I mean, I just don't understand like, his relationship to any of his alliances, because it's still unclear why at the journey he said Maria instead of Ben. And normally I would say, like, we could say, oh, there's stuff that, you know, we haven't seen everything, so like they must be closer and the show just hasn't shown us that. But no, because Maria was surprised that she was
she says
that was super weird. And then his like immediately going after one of the six is like, okay, well, if you want to keep the door open with Q, like that's not how you should go about it.
In his exit interview with Bloom, he does talk about that, like Ben being his true number one. He did not tell them, and I kind of get it now, but like he did not tell them that Ben was his number one and told them that Maria was his number one because he felt like he never trusted them. He never trusted in the six. He didn't buy into it. He thought it was a trap. There was no way he was going to give up his number one. So he gave up Maria rather than Ben. He was trying to protect Ben's place.
That is fair. That like makes me really appreciate his mindset so much more, but it kind of really backfired because I feel like
it really did.
I mean, not only is he voted out now, but like they were potentially going after Ben. If he would have said Ben, then they would have been like, okay, oh great, even better. It's all bros and Tiffany.
Right? And yeah, that's exactly how it would have been.
They would have totally protected Ben and he
Instead that he ended up receiving Maria going like, he thinks I'm his number one nerd, like just moving on, like whatever.
Yeah. But yeah. I feel like Maria did gain some like residual protection because of that.
Yep.
And so she could, like, you know, her name was in the six. And so she's on their minds as part of the six. And I think that just like carried over into this like automatic in
the irony, right?
People. Yes. Yes.
Like that blew up his game, but protects her. That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, I can see also from his perspective why he would think that. You don't know these people. You've literally just met them. They're on opposing teams. And like, yeah.
I love how completely opposite he was going into that compared to Banu. You know, where like you just spill the beans about everything versus like you literally gave them nothing and you gave them so much nothing that the audience thought you gave them something that was nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like just completely different ways of playing the game. And it didn't work out for either one of them because Survivor's hard.
Yeah. And you can never know. It's like you can't prepare for that because you could run through like all these like potential situations of like maybe it'll go this way, that way, or the other way, but you don't actually know the people that you're playing with until you're playing with them, and until honestly, like until you see how the game played out, see how they actually really reacted.
Sometimes you don't even know who you were playing the game with, until like after the game is well over and you're watching it, you know, with your family and going, oh damn.
So like if you know who is it that proposed? I think it was Q that proposed it first. The whole six thing because he had almost no tribe left. That's understandable. so he's the one that proposed.
And then they had the power last night.
And then they had the power. But like, what if Q and Hunter had been playing them? We'd be saying that Tim was a genius to not give up his number one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's very true. You know, this is the thing, like in an alliance like that, it's a great idea when you're talking about like, we're going to have the six, we're going to have the three main people. And he's brilliant for realizing we have to protect each other because post-merge, we are exactly the people they're going to go after.
Right.
And then we each have a number one that guarantees you one vote and guarantees you two more votes. You know, you always have that block of six. But what happens is in this format, which I kind of hate that it's already fallen apart because I really wanted to see how that was going to play out.
Yeah.
When you have to start cutting your number ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's number one's going first?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's hard. And like six is a big alliance, especially when it's cross tribal in that way.
Yes.
Because everyone has their number one and obviously has some other people from their original tribe. So.
Yes. And as abrasive as Q can be, he is very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think he has an excellent
And to answer your question, to answer your question, Jamie, I believe in that case, they would have cut Q because they would have been like, okay.
I agree. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. I think before they got rid of the number ones, I feel like the number ones and the other two would have come together to cut him out.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Which is ironic too, because he was the whole instigator of the plus one alliance.
Listen, you look at
what happened.
Yeah.
You look at the strongest players and you look at their, you know, like what gives you strength as a player and how does that strength weaken your game? You know, how does it help you? Where does it weaken it? And Q is that he has an incredible instinct. He really does have a good instinct. However, his first reaction to that instinct is not necessarily the right reaction.
Right. It's to like charge head first like a bull, like grr.
And I think that's why he goes, it's so and so. And then like comes back around and goes, never mind, it's so and so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like slow down and think about everything that you just pulled in because your alarms are going off because you're right. You're intelligent. You're picking up on something. However, you think the smoke alarm is a robbery and it's not. Like you have to stop and go, what is this alarm? And then who are you directing it to?
Jamie, you just reminded me of something. So we were talking about Lauren and Kenzie, like if they can't both be in the final three. What if we saw Lauren, that whole thing about Tiffany and Kenzie? What if we saw that whole thing with her and Ben last night? Because Ben is going to be a crucial part in saving Kenzie when it comes down to the two of them.
Totally possible.
Yeah.
I think that's possible. And I could also see Tiffany having to make a choice, like Q being like, make your choice. And she picks Kenzie and then Q trying to take her out too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely possible. And I mean, I think, you know, Q's downfall in this game is going to be that he, like you said, Jamie, has like really good instincts and he'll obviously just go for it. But it seems like he's unable to read the room in that people.
It's not even
reading the room because it's a fairly universal concept, but like people don't like being told what to do. Some people do, like in certain circumstances and for like a certain amount of time, but
when everyone's there in a game like this, they don't like being told
what to maybe do. For a vote or two in the beginning, but even that, whenever you have somebody dictating things, even in the pre-merge, it's like it doesn't go over well.
Exactly. And the closer you get to the final tribal where you need to put that stuff on your resume for the jury, you don't want somebody like Q.
Yeah.
And Tevin too. Like you don't want.
Yes. But Tevin approaches it differently.
He definitely has
softer edges and he has those skills of like being able to present his idea as if it's a conversation that we're going to have to brainstorm, but really this is what I want, you know, versus Q. Like, and the interesting thing about Q is like, maybe he is open to brainstorming and discussing I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it doesn't come off like that. Like maybe he needs maybe if he was with another alpha, then like they would,
he's with Tiffany and I'm sorry, but Tiffany is absolutely an alpha. And it's funny because
with more tact because she can.
Has finesse, but it's funny because it's just within his own tribe. It's like, you look at, okay, so when he talks to them and we'll see if we get any more of these conversations and we can see what happens. He tries to do the cue and tell Tiffany, and Tiffany immediately stops that shit. It's like, no. Like, we're not doing that. No, listen to me, you know? But then Kenzie, he can push Kenzie a little bit further, and Kenzie's like, okay. And then she'll turn and talk to Tiffany. You know, we know that she doesn't agree with what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then he had Banu, who was like, please tell me what to do.
Yes. Tell me 100% what to do. Yes.
So he's dealing with three very different personalities on how you, it's easy for, the thing is with leaders, it's really, really easy to fall into the trap of being the boss. And he's definitely doing that. And if he doesn't put the brakes down, it's not going to be the other players in the game. It's going to be his own alliance that puts a stop to him.
Eventually, when the time is right, because those two women are very smart. But yes, I mean, thinking back to the very beginning of the game, like I have these memories and I'd have to go back and like rewatch to like actually analyze, but I'm seeming to have these memories of like Q and Tiffany talking, like laying down in the shelter, like chatting. And it really did seem like more of a back and forth equals discussing things type thing.
I agree.
So yep, I don't know if that just like went off the rails at some point, but it didn't, well, it wasn't always like that. I think
Tiffany was still, Tiffany was still kind of in between Kenzie and Q, right? Like she hadn't really settled in completely that we could see.
I don't know.
But
no,
she is like, with Kenzie. I think that if, what was his name? Brandon, who was it that went home because he hurt his arm? If he hadn't gone home, I'm still fairly certain Kenzie's name was going to get written down.
It was a distinct possibility. But I think that Q and Tiffany were much more like each other's number ones in the beginning. And I think now that has shifted more to Tiffany and Kenzie.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's like, you know, as Jamie was saying, they're both kind of more type A or more natural leaders that I think Tiffany just realizes that she just gels and works better with Kenzie.
Yeah, those two women know how to have a partnership.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
And I don't think that Q's quite, I think that Q is too paranoid, almost on the verge of being paranoid in order to have an actual
For a living. He's with the top realtor in like the country.
Yeah,
or
it's cutthroat, right?
So like he's in the
country.
We're like,
yes,
not
he's number
country,
one in the
like,
country. He is number one
is
in
it
the,
really
country.
The country.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know he's up there. So I could understand like he is one of 17 children. He is clearly very, very, very competitive. And people that are competitive, they can be great people, but they don't always play well with others. Hmm. And it's not on them. It's just that's their personality. So
okay, he is the number two real estate broker in the U.S.
Damn, number two.
Yeah. Which
I push harder. Come on.
He went, I would guarantee he went on Survivor because he wanted the name recognition to become the number one realtor.
Yes.
Yeah, I would bet that that's gonna work.
Job is done.
I would. okay, so before we wrap this up, any thoughts on where we're going in this season? Like last thoughts. I think that we're kind of. I think we're all sort of leaning towards some kind of Kenzie, Lauren, you going somewhat to the final three, maybe Charlie.
Yeah,
Lauren being like, a fallen angel, Charlie being the final three. Who else do we think? Where do we think Maria is going to end up?
Well, I was going to say like the people I think that can't win.
Yes,
if I may. I mean, Ben's not winning. Yes. Liz, unless she Erica's it, she's not winning.
She's not winning.
I don't think Hunter's winning.
I don't either.
He's going to go deep.
Him generally get picked off. Yeah.
Yeah. Q's not winning. And Venus is not winning of the people that are left.
I think Kenzie can win. I think Charlie, I can make a case for Charlie winning.
Charlie
can
win.
But we're seeing a lot
Charlie's
of him
angels.
Being like that. We are, but we're seeing a lot of him as being like the number two to somebody else. And I don't know if that's very foreshadowy or not.
Ooh, interesting. The number two to somebody else, but because people keep talking him up.
I'm going to tell you, I am actually really, really rooting for Charlie to win simply because all three of us, like Colleen, Jack, and I all said he's first boot. And I love the idea of him winning it.
I would be fine with the Charlie win.
Taylor Swift. Wouldn't that be cute?
Oh my God. That would be
make his
adorable.
Hey, Jamie. I just realized as I'm looking down my list that I never gave points for Soda last night.
Oh.
Hey.
So I had her final three. Jamie had her pre-merge. Jack had her merge. So you guys heard it here first. Jack gets another point.
Oh, damn.
And he's not going to ever find out.
Is it going to be the secret point? Is that secret point going to be his
only
like,
comes
secret
into play
advantage?
Yeah. Only okay, comes look, into play gonna... if he loses by one.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Look, I'm going to put it, Shandy, I'm sorry, Jamie, I'm putting it in gray.
Do it.
So that way.
If he's down by 1 point, we've got to make an announcement.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you guys, but I realized that her name wasn't crossed off and I was like, oh my God, we did not go through her. Okay. So I think other people that can win, I think Tevin can win. I think Tiffany can win. I think Maria could win, and I think Kenzie can win, and possibly Charlie.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yes.
And it will entirely depend on, like, sort of which group gains dominance.
Right, which yes, exactly.
And, like, I do really love that you have, like, the Sigas who are kind of now getting picked off, but, like, then the Namis are a total fucking mess.
Yes.
Right. There's and always the group that makes it so far. They're always a shit show by the time you get to the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like you have the tribes, but even the biggest tribe doesn't mean anything because they all hate each other. And then you have the plus one alliance, which is cross. I love this idea of like all three tribes, like a cross tribal alliance with all three tribes, but that's already changed because they have to explain. And I think they'll be understood, like the explanation for why they did what they did. It's understandable. But there's that alliance. So there's like all interesting groupings. And so I think when we see like which group kind of emerges as the actual clear group moving forward.
Right.
Then we'll see from there. But
I'm curious to see what the six, well, the five that are remaining, what they do with the idea of Maria having the knowledge of that alliance. And see if they say, okay, now you're still in this alliance. Now you pick a number one.
I wondered that too. And here's what I've also been wondering. Did Maria tell Charlie about it? Because if she did. I tend to think that they talk about share like almost everything, so yes, but like that, because that could potentially freak him out, like why am I not included, blah blah blah. And then if she didn't tell him about it to just kind of keep it in her back pocket, then he might feel betrayed that now, you know what I mean, like now when it comes out, if it comes out next time. So I don't know, it'll be interesting to see, but I wondered that too, if like Charlie's going to become the de facto new person.
I don't know. I'm interested to see how that goes. But I think, first of all, we have to get through everything is that I don't think much is going to happen, or at least we're not going to see much past whatever drama is about to unfold in this next episode.
Right.
I think that'll probably
I'm so
be
excited
the majority
for
of it.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, just like for one last thing about the plus one alliances, it could also then just like kind of my cat has the zoomies, so I don't know if you can hear her. running around like a crazy cat, but I could also see it kind of just like on the surface fizzling and kind of underneath the surface going down to a four-person alliance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like of the have, four that were actually serious about it in the first place.
Like the appearance, right? Like the appearance of the disbandment, but they're still part of it that's banded together.
Yeah, just like kind of stop talking about it with Maria, but then like still kind of hang out with, because those four do seem committed to each other a bit.
I think she was a person of his word, and I think that
as
long as he's in that alliance, there's going to be somewhat held together.
Yes, but what happens, like a similar question, has Tiffany talked to Kenzie about it? I could see maybe not. And what happens?
Oh, no, I feel like.
You know what I mean? I could see it going either way. But because that's a clear signal to Kenzie that, hey, Q considers me, Tiff, to be his number one. You know what I mean? Like if she tells that, like, there's potential consequences either way.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, because I think Tiff is always, you know, you want to have a couple people in your back pocket, but I'm pretty sure that we're all in the same boat when we say that Kenzie is her number one.
Yes. And do you want Kenzie to know in no uncertain terms that Q really does put her after Tiffany? You know, it's like, because it's, I'm sure Kenzie is smart enough to have picked up on that. But like to have that sort of like undeniable proof is, yeah. I feel like another thing.
It's interesting in Survivor versus something like Big Brother, where in Big Brother, it's the new, in the last 10 years, it's the trend that there's like a house majority. And then the house majority just does a clean sweep through the house. And then they go after each other. And then now in Survivor, it's like every time they try to make it work, that you can't have a big alliance in Survivor. It falls apart so quickly. Yeah. And I think that's why the biggest tribe that goes into merge always eats itself, because the lines have never been written in the sand. No one's really entirely clear where the line stands.
Right, where they stand,
And they're so annoyed with each other.
When you had old school Survivor and it was longer, it's still not nearly as long as a game like Big Brother. And just that fast, swift movement of the game does not allow for large alliances.
But I mean, even like we saw this even in earlier seasons, because again, like, they've been mentioned. But if you go back to Denise and Malcolm's season, it was a similar thing where there was one tribe that came in almost fully intact, if not fully intact. I can't remember exactly. Yes. And they were a mess as well. So even though they had more time.
Like, we just can't handle it because we never had to write each other's names down. So we don't know who we can trust and who we can't. We don't know what alliance is real yet.
And we just haven't had the satisfaction of sending home somebody who's been annoying us. So
exactly.
We've had to live with the crazy people the entire time.
Okay, Shandy, before we go, if you had to pick right now, who's your final three and who's your winner pick?
Oh, fuck.
Because next time we see you, it'll be right before the finale. Yep.
That's really, really
I know, difficult. And I didn't even give you warning.
That's okay. I'm looking at my little list.
Yeah. I mean, oh, quick, you have to look at the season logo.
Right. Oh, yes. Right. You know what? When you guys were talking about that, I then got into like full conspiracy mode and I was like, well, what if with the logo, and I haven't actually looked at it, but I was like, what if they make the logo without a silhouette and that's what you see on the beach, but then in post, they add that, they like add Photoshop it on.
No.
Just saying.
It's probably the same guy that used to put wild animals in the camp for the shot. They gave him a new job. I need you to Photoshop this silhouette and that sign real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. But so looking at this, I think my three favorites to win, the people I think have the highest chance, are Kenzie, Maria, and Tiffany. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I love Tevin, but I think we'll need to see more from him if he's going to move up in those rankings. And then it also sort of really depends on what kind of group he comes with. Again, I think Charlie's in there, but I think it's a higher probability that Kenzie, Maria, or Tiff would win, which I love. Like, that's an all women's top three. I think there's a very decent chance that Kenzie could win. I agree with you there. I do think we've seen like really great stuff from Maria, although she could be a fifth place goddess also.
Yeah.
I could definitely see Tiffany being our fallen angel though. Like I agree with that.
Tiffany could also, because I do think that if Kenzie goes on to win it all, it will mean that she's in the final three without Tiffany.
Without Tiffany. Agreed.
Probably without Q, but definitely without Tiffany.
Yes.
And if Maria goes on to win, I mean, she could go with Charlie, but I kind of doubt it. I think he would also probably be voted out just before. So, I mean, I guess if I have to decide, I'll go with Kenzie because she lives in North Carolina. Gotta find a reason.
All right.
And I think that she could probably, I think there's a a very good chance that she could be there with Venus.
Interesting. Okay.
And, you know, now I'm wondering, like, does somebody like Ben also make it to the final three and not really get any votes? Because people like, because people like it, or maybe he gets a vote or two, but people like him, but they see, you know, somebody like Kenzie being much more strategic, and Ben hasn't been necessarily super strategic.
Well, final three still gets money, right? Like, there's still a prize there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we should... what we need to do is we need to take his press photos and then like put them up next to like the new photos and see how many new tattoos there are. That can give us an idea.
Oh my God. That's great. That's genius.
But like, that's a final three that I could see Kenzie with. Not that she needs to be with Venus in order to win, because I think she's a really strong player, but I think there's a non-zero chance that Venus is a no vote getting final three contestant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will touch base again in a couple of weeks and see how right or wrong you were. thank you for joining us, though. I always love talking Survivor with you, obviously.
It's so much fun. Anytime you guys, and I love this all girls alliance too. I mean, Jack's great too, but you know.
Yeah.
For a DILF, he's fine.
For a DILF, he's okay.
Fine. He's fine for a DILF.
But I'm a sucker for an all women's alliance.
So, Shani, as we go out, please confirm for me that you remember the poop in the ocean from the Tribe days.
So, when you were singing that, I was like, damn, I used to like, always drink during recording.
Oh, we drank so much during that. I just,
and I woo! Just
because like, they were so long and we had to get through it somehow.
Yeah, the most vaguest of vague memories now that you're saying it, and I don't even know if that's true or if my brain is just trying to believe that it's true. Manda, right. Well, hopefully, she was listening to them, you know, like sober most of the time. I mean, you can listen to the Tribe however you want to listen to the Tribe or any other podcast for that matter, but. The recording of it was just, not dry. Yeah.
No. It was only John that was dry. I mean, 7 out of 7 other co-hosts are perpetually shit-faced.
Oh my God. Plus we'd like record on Friday evenings.
All right. Anyway, moving on from that, I'm going to stop that talk right here.
It sounds like something we would have done. So
exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for being patrons. Thank you to everyone, especially Tack and Maggie and Eckhart and Joanne and Creepy Poopy Head Mailman.
Of course. I mean, the most important.
Most important. They're all important.
They're all important, but only one of them is Poopy. And for this
only
discussion...
one of them is Poopy. Poopy.
Poopy. It's just Poopy.
Yeah. You did it so much better than me. No, seriously. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back. We'll be back soon. On that note, my name is Colleen.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Shandy.
Bye. Peace out.